Hey, welcome to the Mead House. Jeff here.
Chris here.
It's that false fall and then heat wave.
The fun never quits.
Man, no, my air conditioner is running like crazy these days.
My electrical bill's up because I like sleeping like a penguin. Oh my god!
Wrong season for that.
Yeah, it's the wrong season for that. Oh, but hey, guys, welcome! Great to have you back with us. We had a fun episode last week, and I've actually got a little bit of feedback from a couple people that said that they enjoyed the fact they were talking about why you guys promote Bacchus as much now. The guys, the people that were at the Pirate Gathering, said, "Now I understand why you guys like them." Yeah. They want you to succeed, and they want to give you all the tools to succeed. So, yeah, that's why we like it. But, yeah, appreciate the feedback, guys. Really do. Thank you, everybody, for joining us here. We could do this without you, but it wouldn't be nearly as much fun. Okay? I would like to say couldn't do without you. We can do it, but then we're just talking to ourselves.
Hanging out in my garage drinking tea with my buddy, there are worse ways to spend a weeknight.
Afternoon, whatever.
But the fact that we get to have this dialogue and get people's feedback and get to interact with you guys, that makes it so much more interesting
and rewarding. I really appreciate you guys. And as for us, Box and Barleycorn still our sponsor, still appreciate them. Jake and the gang there do really good by us.
And our discount code is
MHP10.
I put you on the spot and you made it.
Yes.
MHP10 gets you 10% off of your order, I believe, online or in store.
Definitely online, probably in store if you just ask. They're really good about it. They're really competitive. They're great people. And listened to our last episode. It was kind of like an advertisement for them. I get it. But, they support us. I'm returning the favor. I don't feel bad about that.
By the same token, if any other store had a better deal on gear, and we tried sincerely, we looked at the first like two pages of search results. On, was it Google or Brave? It doesn't matter which.
Yeah, we did both. I Googled, you did Brave, and we did not find a better deal. And if we did, we would have said so.
Right.
I mean, the ones we showed you were the best deals we found.
We would have been shining their praises instead. It just so happens that, it turns out, hey, the people we've been advertising, the people we've been telling you about, they're actually a really good deal.
They're a good source. I would love to say they're best on the block, but I haven't seen the entire block. But the best we found.
Right. Yeah.
But Jake and the people there, your supplies, any kind of fermentation, whether it's wine, beer, cheese, yogurt, kombucha.
It's sake. All kinds of.
Not just mead, guys. I mean, if it's fermentable, they probably got something for you.
And they've also got a line on distilling now because that's becoming a thing more.
Yeah. And if you're in a place that you can distill on your own, do it. They can help you out with that too.
Yeah, that borderline is becoming less more and more obscure these days with the nationwide ban being kind of questionable at this point. But
yeah,
we'll see.
But we'll see. But give them a call, visit their website. I know there's something there you're going to say, really? You can do that too? Yeah, you really can.
Yeah. For such a small footprint store, they have so much.
They have so much, and they have access to so much more.
They really do.
It's great, guys.
Again, that's MHP10, your discount code, if you want to check them out, see what you can get. And support the show, support them, supports us. Everybody wins.
Now, today we're going to talk about what's next. I've done my first batch. I've made my first mead. Do something smarter than I did. I made my first mead of blackberry vanilla, and that was a bad idea. I should have made it traditional. We encourage traditional. But we're going to talk about what you do after your first batch. Now, we pulled out one of my old standbys, my chocolate strawberry, and that's our mead of the day. Now, this has been actually sitting in the bottle for close to 2 years now.
Yeah. And it's not as red as it was.
No. And I shouldn't expect it to be.
Well, strawberry is notorious for losing color. That just happens.
Yeah. And, that's fine. But we're more often, I'm just going to start with the taste. Now, it's gone to a kind of a reddish amber color. Yeah. A little sharper on the nose, I remember.
I need to get a better sniff at that because I'm not sure if that's oxidization or if that's just heavy strawberry. It doesn't smell oxidized. It just smells like a kind of strawberry and a little chocolate.
Ooh. Ah. No, it tastes better, man. It tastes better. Get chocolate up front, strawberry in the back.
Oh, the chocolate is the chocolate is both strong and really smooth.
Yeah. Oh man. Okay, guys, first thing I, we, like this is almost 2 years old in the bottle, and it's better than last time I've had it.
I mean, at this point, the chocolate is it's kind of kicking the strawberry's ass.
Yeah.
Strawberry is not a strong flavor,
No, but the strawberry hasn't given up yet either. It's still there, but the chocolate has become like a dark, smooth chocolate right in the front and across the top of your mouth.
yeah, no, if you told me this was a chocolate covered strawberry mead, I would say, yeah, no, that's exactly what it is. It's just those two smooth and hanging out.
Yeah, but there you go, and that's just aging, guys. I mean, we did this at the 6 month period or 6 8 month period.
I think so, yeah. No, this was one that I think you had an issue with. This was before you had your accident, maybe,
Yeah,
and it got,
that was over 2 years ago then.
yeah.
Whoo, yeah.
And so it got sat around for a little while, and we were looking for a fix for a strawberry,
Yeah, picture
essentially.
of strawberry because it wasn't doing what I wanted to do. It didn't taste enough strawberry. But then it tasted kind of a sappy strawberry when I tweaked it. And then we had chocolate and where things worked out.
Chocolate covers a lot of sins.
Chocolate covers a lot of sins. And that's exactly what you told me when I asked help. We're talking about now I finished my first meat. Now hopefully you did a traditional, you were smarter than I was. And you've tried your first meat, you've got it where you want it, sweet as you like it. Now what do you want to do?
So let me put a pause on this. Should you do a traditional absolutely for your first meat?
No. No, you don't have to.
You don't have to. None of these are hard and fast rules. If you really want to do a fruit mead, do a fruit mead.
Fruit meat. That's what I did a blackberry vanilla bean, my first crack out of the box, and I was fortunate enough not to screw it up.
Ultimately, you should try making a recipe that is both approachable, but something you're going to enjoy,
Yes, absolutely.
because you should be able to enjoy the fruits of your labor. If you don't enjoy the fruits of your labor, what's the point?
You're not going to do it very long if you don't enjoy what you're doing.
No,
So
you're
if
gonna.
you really want a fruited meat, do the fruited meat right out of the gate.
I would say try and do a semi-sweet to sweet trad for
Just ease. Just make it less complicated, guys.
less ingredients, less fiddly stuff. You basically just put in your honey and your yeast and you go.
And it's less expensive, it's less complicated. And at the end, oh yeah, and then you get the compliment of, I did this. And you get that little shot of endorphins and serotonin saying, yeah, this is something I made. And it's cool. If you want to do fruited meats out the gate, do it. However, now you've done your first batch of meat, whether it's fruited, whether it's traditional, whatever it is. What now? Okay, we have some suggestions, but this all depends on you because, like Jeff said, these aren't hard and fast rules.
No. And here's the thing. We have a few recipes posted on our website, in show notes and things like that from various shows. You've heard us recommend, if you've been listening for a while, I put out an 8%, a 12%, and even a 16%. The 8 or maybe even the 12 would be a great first mead recipe, but I'm not going to say, hey, just because you listen to our show, you should be using ours. If you've got a different starter mead recipe from someone else, use it.
Yeah. Yeah.
The important thing is that it's approachable and that it's something you're interested in.
Yeah. I mean, we are not the end all of recipes by any stretch because if I was going to write down my recipes, I'd have to go back through all my 3x5 cards I've got.
Sure.
I write them for me, not you guys. So I'd have to rewrite them. Honestly, guys, if you want to do a Viking Blood cherry mead, do a Viking Blood. You want to do the orange,
The Joe's Ancient Orange.
Joe's Ancient Orange?
Well, don't do Joe's Ancient Orange, but you can put oranges and spices and stuff in a traditional and call it a modern orange.
Yeah, but I have learned from my personal things. If I'm gonna alter the flavor, other than my fruit syrup component, I'll put that in primary. But everything else I put in, like my spices and things like that, I'll put in secondary. Even my chocolate, cacao nibs for chocolate flavor.
The recipe gives you a place to start. And if you're a first-time mead maker, you're probably starting with a recipe. You're
Yeah,
not going to wing it.
even I didn't. I don't know. I doubt Jeff did.
No, I got a recipe from, you'll never guess, Box of Barleycorn.
Of course, Box of Monaco, yeah.
Yeah, because it's where I bought all my equipment the first time out. One of the first things you kind of have to figure out for yourself is moving on from the recipes you see to the recipes you make for yourself.
Yes.
And how do you approach that?
Okay, first of all, you've had your first meet, whatever it is. And I like this. Okay, what else do you, would you like to taste in your mead? And this is tripping you around. I love this cherry mead I made. I love this traditional mead I made. What else do I want to try? I want to try apple mead. Fine. Let's do apple mead.
And this is kind of where part of the, we talk about how this is an art and a science. This is where the art comes in.
This is the art,
This is
guys.
look, you look for your inspiration in flavor. And, how many times have, I don't know about you, but I have run through City Market and looking at all the fruits and vegetables and the spices and teas and stuff like that and gone,
Aha. A lot.
it
We do it a lot.
strikes because flavor is part of the game. And whether it's food flavors or alcohol flavors or, a fun aroma that catches you off guard and goes, oh, what's that?
Yeah.
It all kind of.
It is what it is, man. Inspiration counts. But you take this where you want to go. Now,
Before you go taking it where you want to go, what do you absolutely have to have on lock?
your solid base of just your sanitation, your ingredient space, and your readings.
Yes, process stuff. Sanitization, 100%, the core of all of that. Practice sanitization, understand your sanitization, and you need to practice your sanitization every step of the way until it becomes rote, until it's just the default way you do it. And the first six or seven times you're making a mead, you're gonna have to keep telling yourself to do that. It's not rote yet.
No, and I'm my first six, seven times, I was over sanitizing my equipment. I had the spray bottle, I had the dunk vat, I had all these things, and I never not I would remind myself consistently, but I would never not do it. Now, having the dunk tank and the spray bottle and all these things and the little pan for my stuff, I still do it exactly the same way as that first five, six, seven times. And it's important to me because I've lost vats. I've lost containers of my mead, and it makes me sad. I don't like that.
My sanitization protocol got to the point where my roteness is pretty well ingrained. The only thing that I have changed from my first few batches to now is that I used to have a big, like, I had a big, like, metal, it was kind of decorative serving tray from my college days, and I would sanitize that and put all my sanitized tools on it. So I knew I had something sanitized to put my sanitized things on. I've since stopped doing that and just used the duct tank to store things if I need to put something down. And one less thing to clean.
Yeah, I still use a tray because
Otherwise, yeah.
it's just a quick grab for me, that's why.
Sure. And the part of this is figuring out the absolute protocols of your sanitization and what works for you, what makes this feasible, approachable for you. I really like the spray bottle method. I preach the spray bottle method hard. When I was working at Box of Barleycorn, I would tell people, hey, the directions on your star sand tells you how to make a 5 gallon batch. You don't need to do that. Just take 6 milliliters in a little kid dropper bottle, put it in a single gallon of distilled water, put that in a little hard, heavy duty spray bottle from like the hardware store, the
Yeah.
home store, or whatever, and you're good to go.
Yeah.
Just
And
spritz
that's
with
part ready to go.
yeah.
And will I use a quart of sanitizer from my bottle per action? No, generally not.
You probably won't use a cup.
I probably don't use, if I'm doing one batch, I won't use a cup. If I'm doing several batches, I might use the quart. It's the way it is, guys.
You've got three more, and it's a 6 month storage window,
Yeah,
so
you're good.
it's hard to mess up. So sanitization on lockdown, the process of just measuring your gravity and following your recipe, taking notes.
All the way.
That also, if it's not the core of what you do, it kind of has to be that mercury satellite kind
Yeah,
of
really
right
close.
next to it.
But honestly, guys, there's going to come a time where you make this is a fat. If you do this consistently for a while, you're going to say, this is really good. I want to do it again. Please have your notes.
If you don't have notes, then you're
You're chasing for the rest of your life and your
right, you are
livelihood.
shooting in the dark. And
And then it's just annoying. Then it becomes an obsession, and it can.
you're fighting frustration more than you're fighting a desire to make good mead at
Yeah.
that point.
But take your notes. And we've given you a couple sources for having a worksheet. What was that one you saw? It was on a there was a website that had a worksheet on it to help take notes. We talked about it with several episodes ago. I'll try to find it and
Is it maybe meattools.com?
it could be Mead Tools.
We'll have to look that up.
Yeah, look up. But a sheet of notebook paper is all you really need, guys.
Yeah, that's for the longest time I was doing, what was it, Evernote, just a little note-taking app on my phone, and doing a narrative, blah 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 blah. And then they decided they wanted to charge for even the basic notes. I said, no, I'm not doing that. You're a notepad. I'm not charging for a notepad.
I've got a stack of blank notebooks in my house. I just grab one.
So my son was told when he had back to school stuff last year that he needed two 3-ring notebooks with college rule paper for, was it English language? Was it science? I forget what. It turns out he didn't need either of those.
Shocking.
And so he had one with a fun little, it's buried under stuff right now because I'm not taking notes in it, with a fun little kind of Mountain Vista design on it. And I was like, well, if you're not using it and you don't want it,
Oh, my goodness. Yoink.
now dad has something to take notes on.
Yeah. And I love hard copy simply because I can put it almost in any file sleeve at all. I know where it's at. I can look at it by flashlight if I need
If
to.
I need to digitize it, I can take a picture with my phone.
Yeah, I'm good to go. All right, you made your notes. You have your sanitation, you made your notes, your process is next. Keep the same process because if you don't, your process will alter your end results.
Right. And let's say, hey, there are, let's look at, for example, the difference between the 8% meat recipe and the 12% meat recipe we have on our website. One of those has, I think one of them involves step feeding, and one of them was with the 8%. I just said, hey, put all your nutrients in at once. Ain't nobody got time for that because your steps are gonna be over in no time.
Yeah.
If you've done one or the other, maybe try the other. So if your first recipe did not involve step feeding, maybe challenge yourself and try something that does involve step feeding and make that the only change, a higher ABV or what have you, that necessitates a change in process. But a change in process should kind of be by itself until you learn how to do that process. And it doesn't take more than once or twice to figure out some of these things.
And honestly, guys, the process, if and on your recipe, on your notes, add nutrients here, add nutrients here, add nutrients here is absolutely legitimate. If you know how to do it, having your notes tell you when to do it and put it on your account, on an alert on your phone, doesn't make it a big deal. But and while we were talking, I did look up meattools.com, and yeah, that's where the recipe builder page was.
Okay, yeah. So that's, I have not played around with this much, but I know the calculator for nutrients is using essentially the same formula as I'm using. So it's pretty reliable if you don't have that math formula stuck in your head like I do.
And if you want an actual calculator, the brewer's friend has a calculator. Just put in what your starting gravity is, your finishing gravity. It's going to tell you what you're supposed to end up with.
A brewer's friend also has, if I'm not mistaken, a like a beer builder. So if you want to make a braggot, honey is a fermentable. You can add it there. I've used that a number of times when I got started with braggots. But anyway, we're not talking about further stuff. We're talking about the next thing.
The next thing.
So again, I think we cycle back to, well, what do you like?
What do you like?
Do you like, are there fruits you like? Are there desserts or other kinds of alcoholic drinks you like? Maybe you also like beer. Maybe you should consider a braggot if the idea of making a beer is not intimidating to you. Beer is a way different animal from a like fermentation standpoint with all the different ingredients and equipment and steps
I'm going to say
than.
something that hasn't been said on any media in many, many years. Making meat is kind of a, after you get it set up, it's a set it and forget it. It's going to do its thing once you have it set. That's after you've checked it for a few days, make sure everything's working right, and just cap it, forget it for the amount of time. You set it, forget it. Beer ain't that. Beer's got more process.
Beer is a lot more involved up front. Mead is a few hours here and there. You got to spend a few hours putting it together, maybe an hour, maybe an hour. It's a pretty fast process. You got to spend 10, 15 minutes a day for the first week, checking your gravity, adding your nutrient, maybe doing degassing. I highly recommend degassing, but I know not everybody does it. You spend an hour, maybe a month or two later, going from primary to secondary. Another, month to 3 months later, you go from secondary to defining and filtering and back sweetening and bottling and all that. It's really spread out. Beer, on the other hand, tends to be a lot lower ABV. So you spend the better part of a day doing the prep to before you put the yeast in. You let it go for the better part of a month, and then you put it into bottles or a keg, and you let it do its thing one way or the other, how it's carbonating, and then you enjoy it. It's a shorter process, but a lot more involved start.
Well, there you go. Now,
Also takes a lot more expensive equipment if you're going to do so many different parts of this. So
and I like cheap. I like cheap. Anyway, but now, so now we've gotten to the point where go through process, go through sanitizing, all the. Now, if you don't want to go beer and you want to stick with your mead, which I did and I do, I start looking at things. What would I like to do? Would I like to do more than one thing at once? I, again, with as like my personality, I jumped in with both feet on that. And a little more than a couple of years ago, I was had eight separate batches going at once. And my wife was mad at me because it was taking up a chunk of her living room, and she wasn't happy with it. She didn't mind the fact it was going burble, burble, burble in the living room, but as much as she had to dodge my containers, my 7 gallon buckets to get around and do anything. And I get it, comma. I got on the chair. I spent an entire day setting up seven different meads in 7 gallon buckets. That's enormous, and they turned out pretty good overall, and it was great. But what do you want? Do you want to do multiples? Do you want to refine one particular mead till you got the perfect mead like that you want? Do you want to have your cherry mead or your fruit mead or your spice mead or whatever you have refined to exactly what you want? And with your notes and everything, you'll do it again and again, and then go to a second mead? Or do you want to do, like I did, several meads at once, all different?
Well, and I've always been kind of, I take an approach of play towards my mead recipes. If I just wanted to do cherry mead, do a cherry mead. I don't think I've ever just done a cherry mead. I've always done a cherry and something different. And I don't know where I would find just a cherry mead, but I feel like it's one of those things of I could get a cherry mead if I really wanted to. It's kind of boring. I'm here to see what's weird and interesting, what I can do for fun.
What I've never done is I've never made a blueberry mead. I've never made a raspberry mead. And I've only made a black cherry mead. Because a cherry mead and a raspberry mead and a blueberry mead, I can get at the store. I want to get things I can't find at stores. I want to make things you cannot find at stores.
If I'm going to do a cherry mead, it's got to be like Ken Shram Sharbeck cherries or something weird and kind of hype or a heritage style. Like it's not just the frozen
Tart cherries you get off a
at
tree.
Food for Less or
Yeah.
whatever. Yeah.
And honestly, this is where you have to get let your inner creative come out. Yeah, we told you this before, figure out what you want at the end, work backwards. It's the best way we figure it out. If you have a better way, if somebody else has a better way to do it, and it's not backwards at the end and backwards, let us know. Tell us how you do it. Maybe something we can learn too. However, we don't I'm doing the, I want this result. And I'm going, now how do I get to this point and go back step by step? Until I have a plan.
Well, and I think as you grow as a mead maker, there are some things that you start to they start to work for you on an almost instinctual level. That's just part practice and experience going into your software as you're doing stuff. The best way that I can advise to develop that is just to take small steps. So if you've made a traditional and you want to branch into fruit meats, hey, make a cherry. Or make a raspberry. If it's cheap and interesting to you, all the better. Like,
Now,
if you can
remember,
get, like, hey, it's the end of the season, I can get bulk raspberries at my farmer's market.
get them.
Bully,
Bully,
that's
get them.
ex the perfect excuse for this kind of a thing.
Yeah. And
And
how many times have we gotten some because it was on sale? A lot. I mean, one of Jeff's favorite stories is she came back home with strawberries he got for $1 a pint.
yes, no, not a pint. $1 a pound.
$1 a pound.
And so I heard about this when I was working at Bacchus because one of the my customers was like, oh yeah, no, I heard you could get a dollar a pound strawberries at so and so. I was like, huh. I suppose I need to go over there after work then and get several pounds.
A few pounds.
And I sent my wife a message and said, "Sweetheart, I heard strawberries are on sale over at such and such. It's a little out of my way, but I was going to swing over there back home, back on my way home, and pick up a shit ton of strawberries."
She had no idea what
A
that
shit ton of strawberries is a direct quote. So,
meant.
several hours later, I have gotten off work. I picked up my son from my mother-in-law's. I have run through this store that was having the sale. I picked up a shit ton of strawberries.
You know how many pounds you got?
Yes.
Okay.
And it just so happens that my wife is kind of the, she really wants her, like her direct team at work to get along well. And so she'll try and host like little kind of fun get-togethers. I think this particular night she was doing like a follow along a YouTube painter guide kind of thing for like her and about six or eight of her coworkers. So I come in to my wife and like six to eight of her coworkers around our big stretched out kitchen table watching a YouTube video and trying to paint something, cute or silly or whatever, carrying eight little clamshell pounds of strawberries. My wife looks at me and goes, "Wow, you did get a t shit ton of strawberries." It's like, "Yeah, I've got 16 more in the trunk."
24 pounds?
Yeah.
Okay.
I wanted at least 20 for the 5 gallon project I was going to make.
Yeah.
She said she wanted one for us and one for the parrot that we were fostering at the time.
Okay.
And I said, "Okay, round up."
Round up. So, sure. But there you go. And on sale is the call of, oh my gosh, it's mead time for us. Because, yeah, guys, I did not. This is where, you learn things like, I've got with the base is not bad. I need to tweak it. And secondary becomes your friend, where you add your spices and your other flavors. And
I would reiterate here, one thing at a time.
yeah.
One thing at a time, guys. If you're interested in getting into fruits and spices and things like that, this mead that we are enjoying from Chris is an example of, well, hey, yeah, this isn't behaving the way I wanted it to. Let's figure out what we can do about this. This is not the way that's ideal for learning how to make meat. It's just kind of the circumstance of, how this happens. I would say, if you want to make a spiced cherry pie meat, start with making a cherry meat.
Yeah.
Then, once you're into secondary with that cherry meat, if you like the way the cherry is going and you're satisfied with that all by itself,
Stop.
you could try spices, but I wouldn't go too heavy with them.
Yeah.
You might just enjoy the cherry for what it is, especially if you're doing 1 or 3 gallon batches, because you don't have a lot sitting around after a 1 or a 3 gallon batch. The 5 to 7 gallon batches, then you've got some stuff. Unless you got a lot of friends you're hanging out with, sharing around, then
Lot of storage space, unused wine cabinet, basement area. You'll need space, guys. Trust me, I know. But yeah.
After you've got the fruit, get the spice online. After you've got the fruit and the spice online, then maybe do the pie crust thing. And I'm still trying to figure out the pie crust thing. Granted, I'm doing a graham cracker crust right now, and it's way too dark for a key lime pie mead. It is, it looks like a medium brown, it looks like a British brown lager.
Okay. Yeah, I'm worried about the taste, my friend, not about the color.
There is part of me that as much as I want it to be a tasty mead above all else, and I don't filter my meads on principle, I still want it to look nice. And
You
there is a,
didn't have to be pretty, it has to be at least pleasant.
and if it's gonna be a key lime pie mead, by golly, I feel like it ought to be a kind of a chartreusey, greeny, key limey color,
Yeah, I got you. My friend, if it turned out purple, but it tastes like key lime pie with a graham cracker crust, I'm happy as clam. But I get it. But I do get it.
But there's cognitive dissonance if it's purple, bud.
Yeah,
You
there
look at
is.
it and go, "What the hell?"
I would love to know what you put in there, but there we go. But anyway, so your next step is to figure out your next flavor you want. and take it one step at a time. Now, what I did, and I'm going to tell you exactly what happened with my strawberry. I got to my strawberry. I got it didn't have enough strawberry taste for me. And I, if you want to hear the old episodes of me talking about my strawberry mead journey, go for it. It's a fun little dream I wake up screaming from. Not really, but it was frustrating. It was very frustrating. When I finally got enough strawberry flavor in there, for some reason I stopped. Okay, that's the strawberry flavor I want. Yes, right there. I let it sit for a few weeks, and then all of a sudden the strawberry flavor was overwhelming. Once it blended in and married together, it was too much. And I'm sitting here, what? I can't take it out. What do I do now? And Jeff said, I like chocolate. So we got some cacao nibs. I put it in there. And what we're drinking right now is almost a mistake mead that worked out really well. And it's really good now.
There are sometimes you learn some tricks, you learn to fudge. I wasn't sure chocolate was going to work, but chocolate is a strong flavor. It covers a lot of sins. And
It did. It did exactly what we wanted to do. It made it.
realistically, if chocolate didn't work, if I didn't have the suggestion of chocolate to cover up the excessive character of the strawberry, was Chris going to throw it out?
No.
But was he going to enjoy it?
Probably not as much.
If the chocolate didn't work, was he going to throw it out?
Probably not. And
So we took a gamble, and it worked.
it worked, but even if the gamble would have lost, it would have been drinkable, which thankfully is a very big option when you're doing a thing if you start small. If you don't overdo it, if I didn't overdo the chocolate, I would have been fine.
And guys, as much as I can appreciate my buddy here's aplomb with getting into it with both feet, I would highly caution against doing seven separate batches at once. Because I don't know about you, but I have burnt myself out on making mead and just been like, oh, fuck this. I don't want to, whatever. And your hobby, the thing you do for fun and enjoyment, should not burn you out.
Hasn't.
It
I'm
has for
good.
me. I have burnt myself out having too much going on at once. Like, and that was on five little 1 gallon batches all at once. Like, oh, that is a lot of work. God in hell. This one's not ready. This one's ready. This one.
And here I am with 8 7-gallon batches going, bring it. Guys, I will not get tested because it would just make me sad.
There were a lot of different people in this world, a lot of different personalities. Some people may, I think I have settled into, I like 1 to 3 batches going at once, and I'm fine with that. And I'm not going to be more ambitious than that. I'm not trying to make a living at this, so I don't need to. And that's cool.
But and me, I'm not making love of this either. But boy, when I get inspiration, when I get a wild hair, I'm gonna scratch that itch. And I'm gonna scratch it so hard I should probably be bleeding. But I love it. I really do.
So let's circle back to the topic of the show.
Okay.
Next steps, you've made your first mead. Figure out what you like, whether it's different alcohols, different foods, different flavors, and take a step in that direction, whether it's just adding a fruit or a spice or something like that. As we've said so many times before, fruits generally you want to add in primary, spices and herbs you want to add generally in
Secondary,
secondary.
yeah.
This is kind of a, you can play this by ear as you get a little bit more experience with it, but take that as a good rule of thumb, and I think it'll take you far.
Yeah, and even on the Man-Made Mead podcast, just this week, he had a does cinnamon affect fermentation? So he did two batches. One, he put the cinnamon in primary. One, he put the cinnamon in secondary. And he goes, because the cinnamon was in secondary, it had a more mellow presence, more flavorful, mellow presence, in his opinion. This is in his opinion. And the one he put in primary was hotter, spicier, I believe he said. So he goes, the cinnamon was a more pleasant experience in secondary, which he recommended, as opposed to primary. Was the primary bad? No, he'll drink it. He and his tasting squad will finish that batch. That will not be the issue. Comma, he got a better cinnamon flavor and experience with spices in secondary. That's why we say these kind of things. It's not just us.
Well, and there are so many different factors that could be involved here that we can't quite puzzle out either. It could be a biotransformation effect from the yeast he was using, and that might be an entirely different kind of effect if he was using any different strain of yeast, whether it's, a different kind of wine yeast or an ale yeast or who knows what. And the fact of the matter is, your first mead you made with one kind of yeast. So at some point, you should probably be exploring other kinds of yeast. And
Cinnamon B is my default. Is my workhorse. I love to death. If I want to get citrus notes, I'm not using that.
71B is, it just works. It's the reliable standby. It will always carve off 1,100 points just without fail. It's not the one I started with. I did start with D47. And it works well enough. You gotta treat it right to get the right result.
Yeah, but by the same token, if I want to use Hawaiian, I'm not going to use either one of those. I'm going to use the
QA23.
QA23 because it's made for tropical fruit flavors.
Right. Well, and none of these are made specifically for tropical fruit flavors.
They
It's
seem
kind
to
of
work out that way.
an accident. Yeah. These are all wine yeasts, and most of them are from parts of France and/or Italy. So I don't think parts of France and or Italy, when they started using these yeasts, necessarily even knew what a tropical fruit was or tasted like, but it was a flavor they liked and they just stuck with it. And we come along with a broader, more seasoned palate and go, oh yeah, it's kind of like lychee, I guess. Maybe you're.
And honestly, guys, when my son made it with bread yeast, did we like it? Not really. But what, could we drink it? Yeah, we could drink it. So, this is not a recommendation of bread yeast. Don't use bread yeast. Use the wine yeast. Please use the wine yeast.
Wine yeast is so cheap. The little 5 gram packs of Lavin are still like what, $2,
Yeah.
maybe, if that.
And yeah, you can get two gallon batches out of that. Easy.
And then some.
Yeah. Don't use bread yeast. My son did that because he was trying to make the cheapest mead ever. If you watch the show when you if you get a chance, use your wine yeast because it's made for wine. Mead's a wine. Go to the strengths, guys. Now and now you know that we as we've said, spices and the like are for secondary, fruits are for primary, and that's cool. Now you have an outline of what you how you want to build it. My apple mead is not apple mead, it's apple pie mead. I made my apple mead in primary with apples and apple cider, and I made the spices in secondary. That's why I put them in the bag. Worked out great.
These are two different processes, adding fruit to a mead, adding spices to a mead. But once you've got one pretty well on lock, and hey, if there's a fruit that you want to try, if there's a fruit you want to add to a mead to get experience making fruited meads, man, is apple a good choice.
Apple's a fantastic choice,
I think
guys.
apple just wants to ferment. If you get a pasteurized, not chemically treated, fresh apple cider, and just let it go, like with a little bit of air exposure, it's going to turn itself into cider.
Yeah, fast.
The wild yeast in the air will just make it happen. And so it's got everything it needs as far as the nutrient, as far as the sugar content, as a whole hog. It just goes.
And it's such a good base flavor. It's a mild. When you taste an apple, you don't taste pull. You taste it's a, and it's pleasant and it's mild and it's wonderful because of that mild, pleasant flavor. You can tweak it in so many other directions. So flexible, and you'll and let's say for example, I used an apple mead and I added a little bit of too much cinnamon or another fruit like blueberry or strawberry. And I lose my apple flavor. Am I mad about it? Really, not so much. It's a base that kind of got overpowered by another fruit, but I learned from it and I can still drink it. And I'm not mad, but I just didn't get what I wanted.
So, I think if I was going to sum up this, we've gone off on a lot of tangents
Oh
here,
yeah,
of
we really have.
course, on
And
making this next step.
I know you
I don't
guys
know
didn't
if there
expect that at
is,
all.
I don't know if there's a lot of clarity here. So let's circle back and let's kind of sum this up.
You finish your first meet.
You finish your first mead. For future batches, there are two things especially that you want to get on lockdown: your sanitization and your process. That process should include note-taking, measuring gravity, all that process
All the
stuff.
whole process, guys. Get your solid, consistent process locked in. Even if you're doing three or four batches of traditional and then starting off on others, get that process locked down.
As far as the stuff you want to play with, it's got to be fun for you. So go with what's interesting to you, but take it one step at a time, whether that's a new yeast or adding a fruit or adding a different flavor component or what have you. Take it one process at a time. Don't overwhelm yourself and just have fun with it.
Yeah, and do it like Jeff would do it, not like Chris would do it, because I'm the both feet kind of person. I want to do this, and bam, I'm doing that. Katie bar the door, a full throttle, all of it. Jeff is more methodical and more scientific, and he does a better job. That's why he does more consistent, precise meats than I do. Do I mean it's bad? No, there we have proven even by this chocolate starter we're drinking now, I do pretty good.
Yeah, this is a solid meat. And
But if you control what you're doing, step by step, one step at a time, is absolutely the way to do this. I know Tracy in Texas. She will do 20 to 30 test runs to get what she wants, as many as
I believe it.
20 to 30 test runs, and she's got some phenomenal flavors going. But she goes through the process step by step.
I am not that ambitious. I
Well,
just don't.
that's, she is one in a million. She really is.
My not present hat off to her, because that I look at stuff like that and I go, yeah, no, I don't find that fun. Two or three meats at a time, trying something weird. Hey, I'm going to take another stab at pie crust for this thing. Cool. Okay, we'll do that. That's fun for me. But this is a hobby.
Yeah,
It's not a job.
it's not a job.
So keep it fun.
And the best hobbies last the longest because you're enjoying them consistently. But once you got that, this is when your artistic mind and creativity are going to open up, and you're really going to see what you can do out there, guys. And it will never stop.
This, as I've said so many times, this is a hobby. This is your chance to play. So make it fun.
Make it play. Play.
Have a good time and try stuff that's a little weird or a little out there. Or, just if you're interested in something that you've seen done once before and you want to just do that, okay, that's fine.
There. Once you know how to make a good mead, the rules are yours to make for you.
It's a lateral move sideways to make a good cherry mead as opposed to a good blackberry mead. You
Yeah.
know, if you figured out berries, you figured out berries.
Yeah. But you can do it. We believe in you, guys. Thank you for joining us today, Jeff. Thanks for having me over.
Chris, see you next time, bud.
See you next time. Happy meeting, everybody.